Welcome everybody. Welcome to the I Can Radio Show.
Thank you. Are you there, Lee, now?
Okay, start again. We are now. Just a minute. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the ICANN Radio Show, the Internet's only Caribbean authors network. Our mission is to give authors a platform to share their ideas and stories. I am your host, Lena Joy Rose, author and publisher at Minipress, coming to you live from Kingston, Jamaica. I am pleased to have as my guest today Anthony Passmore, whose mother, Olga Mae Passmore, wrote the book that we will be discussing today, The Road to Light. Tony has taken up the mantle and is publishing this book, Art of Other, and the title of the book is The Road of Light. It promises to take you on a journey to the heart of Jamaica, as the eyes of his mother. Tony, welcome to ICANN, the Caribbean Authors Network. It is a pleasure to have you here with us today. So excited.
And it is a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Now, just a little back on the road of life, what it's all about.
Well, it is basically short stories and poems, and this is just some of her work, which spans some 40 years. She wanted to capture life around her in these stories and poems, and she also had a dream of publishing her own book. The first book was published by me 12 years after her death. It was done up in mock fashion and handed over to me after my mother's death by my aunt, Verona Ashman, who said it was my responsibility to have it published. She must have known that she could not do it, as she also died just 3 years after my mother at 76 years old, having suffered a stroke. She was very proud of my mother. And Forsaking All Others is a true story, and I knew both the lady and the gentleman, but cannot call names.
Okay.
Are you there?
All right.
Yeah.
So there are a number of stories and poems, and there are things in Jamaica. Yes, I am hearing you. Hello?
Yes, I didn't get that, Lena.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Why did you... Can you hear me now? You're
yes.
Okay. Why did you decide to publish an update of this book? And what are some of the differences in the book?
Well, I decided to publish and update this book because of the splendid review it had received from Balfour Henry, the fact that you thought it a gem of a book, and with the original there were mistakes in words and the actual layout, and in this new edition there are beautiful color photographs to complement the stories and the poems, and it's done the way a real book should be done. So I was encouraged by you, and also the fact that I believe in this book and I believe it has a lot to offer the diaspora and our own Jamaican people, that it was worth making a go of. Plus,
absolutely.
It is my mother's legacy, and it is for us, our three children, and her six grandchildren.
Wonderful. So who is the audience for this book then? Just Jamaican people, or you had mentioned the diaspora. Who particularly is the audience for this book?
Well, the audience is for this book are teenagers to older folks who are interested in history and Jamaican literature. They are short stories and poems which were inspired by the people my mother grew up with here in Jamaica and events happening around her. And even in our travels overseas, she was inspired with to write some of those poems that she did. So it caters to a wide cross-section of people.
Right, and for even the tourists who want to know more about the inner workings of Jamaica and its people. So that's really great. The audience is very broad. So in the book, Tony, you write most poignantly a mother. Tell us more about your relationship.
Well, we had a special bond. She knew I had the gift of writing, as she did. And I suppose as her firstborn, I was special. You know, she made sacrifices so I could have riding lessons back in the 60s because she knew how much I loved horses and horseback riding. You know, I've competed on my own horses successfully. I'm now a FEI International Level 2 judge for show jumping. So that was our special bond, and it lasted till the very day she died.
Yes, so she was always encouraging you and all of your siblings, I'm sure.
Indeed. You know, she taught us a lot of things, and certainly to be helpful in the kitchen.
Well, that's good. That's an asset. So, Tony, please read your poem that you dedicated to her, as it really sums up how you feel about her and the special relationship that you have.
Yes. Well, I wrote this on the we think and in a family. Among my brother and two sisters, we call each other on the anniversary of our parents' death and birthdays. And so I remembered her especially on this birthday, the 25th of May, 2005. And I just wrote, "How I wish you were here so that I might put a shawl around your shoulders. We often think old age is a must or a promise. When you said to me at age 35, you're middle-aged, I was so annoyed. But you left us suddenly, a year less than your 70. I miss you and feel your presence from time to time. You don't come as often as before, but when the hummingbird visits, I know it's you, with love forever and ever."
That is absolutely beautiful, and I'm sure she would have been proud of you to hear you recite that, as you did today. So, Tony, what did you discover about your mother, the author, from reading her stories? Something that you didn't know before.
Well, her humility, for one. It was Calvin Bowen, the past editor of The Gleaner, who told me that when she came as a journalist to The Gleaner Company at age 21, that she was their brightest star. She never let on of her scholastic achievements. She always said to us, her children, the most important thing in the world was not a university degree, but how to get on with the rest of the world. And her, you know, in her writings, because we were there as children, we knew her challenges as a mother, as a wife, and therefore a lot of it is expressed, and her friends, you know, that she wrote about in those writings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you discover any of the people that she wrote about in the writings? Did you discover, could you recognize anybody?
Well, one of her poems, A Poem for Elsie, who we grew up with, Elsie Benjamin Basso, who was the famous author of Pepper Pot magazine for 21 years, was one of her dear friends and admirers, and most of her work ended up, or a lot of her work was in Pepper Pot magazine, which was an annual. So, you know, she writes about, you know, no place to put a rose, because Aunt Elsie's request was that she be cremated and her ashes scattered. So when you read that poem, that is what it's all about. But, you know, it touched her very much. She grieved very much. They played Scrabble every day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was Aunt Elsie, who was also the person who encouraged her to submit her photograph when she thought she wouldn't stand a chance with the photograph Innocence, which appears inside the book.
Okay. So what is the most important thing that readers will get from reading The Road of Life?
You will get an insight into the life back in the early 40s. You know, living up there on the hill behind the university on my grandfather's property where she grew up, she interacted so much with country folk, which she loved. She understood. She could speak Patois long before all these great Patois speakers are coming forth. She was a romantic, and therefore her work portrays this, you know. Mist on Purple Mountain, for example. But she was also a realist and interested in the politics of the day, and that's the sort of family we were brought up in. And therefore, she writes about these political giants and also people like Martin Luther King. So that's what you will get.
Right. And there is close to home is Norman Manley. And, you know, you can tell that she really admired these icons.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And they subsequently, when she was recognized in her photography, she was asked to come and take the portraits of Sir Alexander Bustamante and Norman Manley as well.
Now, the trend are in the photograph, very front of the book. I think it's in the dedication. Tell us a little bit about that photograph.
That photograph was taken at Lanky when Dad, our father, took us out on a Sunday picnic on our little boat, Lucy. We often invited friends out to go with us to Lime Key. And the magnificence of that photograph cannot be seen in the book. But once we got there with our picnic lunch, and the two girls, the one with the exposed bottom is my sister Christine, and the other one is Karen Basso, Elsie Benjamin's Basso's daughter, 7 and 8, playing in the water. It is a totally unposed photograph, which is the uniqueness of this shot, that my mother sat there quietly with her Rolleiflex camera, watching and watching till the spray of sea came up behind them, and then she took it. And in the original photograph, that is what really blows you away, with a spray of sea behind framing these two young girls. And it was called Innocence, and that after it won the big competition, it was the front cover of Pepper Pot magazine for that year.
Oh, so she was very talented. So, Tony, tell us, what plans do you have for a book launch or book launches?
Well, I'm planning to have 4 book launches. Ocherius, Kingston, Mandeville, and Montego Bay, inviting persons that will appreciate and buy a copy of the book. That is my plan to do that. And then...
When will this take place? At least the first one. You might
Yes, it would be mid to end of August. Mid-August to end of August. And already I have, you know, I have made a list of these folks, some friends, some acquaintances, wonderful, who will be coming.
Okay, so look at that. Can we learn more about you and where to purchase the book?
Well, at the moment, the book is available online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and locally at General Food Supermarket in Ocho Rios and Pine Grove Pharmacy at Simmons Plaza. That's where I have it locally.
Yes. Is there anything else, Tony, that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, we have already explained her photography, which, you know, she did and had her own dark room when we lived at Westminster Road and developed her own films. And she had been trained by the great Amador Packer, who we call Uncle Amador. And again, in submitting that photograph, in a sense, when Elsie Basso said to her, "Olga, you need to put that in. It's a great photograph." She said, "Me? In the likes of Amador Packer and Wally Allen, I wouldn't stand a chance." And when they went to the arena on the Sunday morning, there was a blue ribbon pinned on, in a sense.
Well, that must have been a surprise, a pleasant surprise, or shock,
well, yes,
I should say.
Yes, well, she had beaten her own tutor, yes. So,
Tony, it's a pleasure to chat with you and to talk about your mother and to talk about the book. And, you know, I wish you all the best with your book.
Thank you, Lena. Thank you very much. And we hope that other families will have the example of their mothers and fathers writing like this and publishing the work, which I feel is a legacy the person leaves with other things, but something that families can benefit from in the long run. And I'm hoping that our family will benefit from it. It would just have been our heartfelt wish.
Thank you, Charles. This is a great interview. Thanks to our guest, Anthony Pasmore, for sharing the road of life with us today. I urge you to read this timeless collection of short stories and poems for a nostalgic glimpse of old Jamaica. I am Lena Joy Rose, publisher at Minna Press, the one-stop resource for writers to publish, distribute, and market their books. Visit us at www.minapress.com. Thanks to Andrew Robbins for providing the Jamaican Mental News download. You can download his special mental collection at www.andrewroblin.com. See you next time for another special segment of ICANN, the Caribbean Authors Network. Thanks for listening.